Well, good morning and welcome. We're glad that you're with us here today and looking forward to our opportunity to worship here together this morning and different ones of us as we are going through the days. We've had some ups and downs. There's some challenges, some different things that are happening. And so there's a lot of concerns and where's things going to be. I'm just grateful that God is still sufficiently fixated upon a throne of control and power. And so we continue to trust in Him for the things that are coming. It's good to see you here today, and I know for those of you who are watching online, we welcome you here this morning, and glad to be a part of your experience of worship here today as we desire to draw our attention to God and to keep our hearts fixated upon Him. I want to just give you a couple of reminders about some things. When you came in today, you should have received two different, looks like bulletins. One is the actual bulletin, the other is a prayer bulletin. The one that has our mission theme from October, that is a prayer reminder and to remind you again of the different faces and lives that you saw that came through and have come even in the last few weeks. And so just asking for you to continue to pray. There are some specific areas where you can pray for them and opportunities even to engage. There are some financial ways that you can participate with these different ones as they are ministering in parts of the world. And so it's a way for you to connect and just to remind yourself to be in prayer for them. Now in the bulletin, you're going to find that there are some things that are happening today, and there is in there a blurb about the youth event today that was supposed to take place, but David and the team there have decided to cancel that. We've had several within the youth group that have either been through their school, has been either forced to go into quarantine, or themselves having become sick. And so there are decisions that have been made in the last few hours even to cancel that. And so just to be safe and to try to protect, and he'll see if maybe there's a way to do it later, but for now, those have been postponed. And so just make sure that you're aware of that. We are still planning to have Awana and still planning on those, but just as, a heightened reminder to make sure that we are using safe practices and, maybe the fist bump and, things of this nature, just being careful and conscious of those around you. And as we enter into facilities like this, we are using borrowed facilities. That's why there's one side that's a little different than the other side, and this is not necessarily anything that we have control over. And so just again, use wisdom and things that you are trying to be aware of, and protect those around you, even especially in this first service. And so thank you for being patient and working, and it's good to have you here with us here this morning. Want to just again remind you, today is the day you're supposed to drop off the boxes for Operation Christmas Child. If you have those in your car, you can just bring them right in. You say, oh, we left it at home. Really, we need those either tonight. You can bring those, or excuse me, this afternoon to Awana. Or if just push comes to shove, you can drop them off at the office there at 1519 Morris Hill Road. That's fine, but we'll need that by tomorrow so that we can get those to the drop-off locations. And so make sure that you take care of that as we go through the beginning of this week. There's several other things happening, and so make sure that you take note of that. We are going to, as of now, continue just to proceed with caution, asking you to use good judgment, discretion, but as of right now, we're going to keep moving ahead with some Bible studies, different group meetings, and things like this, and I know that there are some that are joining even in Zoom in different ways like that, but just asking that you be aware of that, the opportunities to get involved with different Bible studies, different groups, and appreciate those who are leading in those areas. Also, just to remind you about the Children's Center that's going to be reopening. If you haven't driven by the property lately, I encourage you to do so. Our Children's Center is, Lord willing, going to be opening in a couple weeks and maybe even in a week, and we're excited about that. We finally got our temporary certificate of occupancy, meaning that we can officially open. And so there's a lot of work that still has to get done, just some cosmetic things. We have a playground that's getting installed and things like that. And so we're excited about that part of our campus coming back to life again, and seeing the Lord allow that project to start coming to completion. And also with that then is we're planning an open house, and Lord willing, that's going to be on December the 6th. And so looking forward to us taking opportunity in the afternoon on that Sunday for us as a church to be able to go through the facility, have ability to see it, and be able to talk with Sherry Hicks, the director there at the Children's Center. And so just different ways for us to get reacquainted with the ministry that's going to start taking shape on that campus, hopefully in the next few months. And so praise the Lord for that. Appreciate all the hard work that many have been doing. I appreciate Tom Crum and the team that he has put together, and many others who are working to see that part of our campus come back to life. We've got several others that we're praying for, and ask that you keep these in your prayer throughout the week here as we go through it. There's several mentioned. I want to mention as well that Mike Reese is going to be having another procedure on his back this Tuesday, and he had another epidural, and so just be in prayer for him as they go through this procedure. And then others that we continue to pray for, Dinah Bolin, several in the sense of needing, you know, wisdom about health decisions and things like this, and just keep these different ones in your prayers. A couple of our missionaries have some specific requests there, and so just keep reminding yourself of these as we go through the week. All right? Well, let's stand together, and we're going to open with a word of prayer and join our hearts and lives together as we sing, and appreciate Fred and Hatim as they come and prepare. And so let's prepare our hearts to worship, to express the gratitude that we have as we come into this Thanksgiving season, rejoicing in the joy that we find in Christ and what He provides for us. And just excited to be able to praise God together. And it's good to have those of you here with us. And it's good to see our missionaries back. We just, we've got to talk. I'm glad that you're here with us here today, the Broyles. And we've had them here a couple weeks ago. But pray the Lord continue to provide for them as well as they're traveling here, Lord willing, soon, we hope. And excited about them getting back into country as well. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for the day. Lord, just pray that you'll guide and direct us here today. We know that there are some who are not able to be here this morning just due to sickness. And then, Lord, we also are aware that, Lord, you're leading our people, some of our family members, to be in difficult situations, and I pray, Lord, that you'll just guide them and direct them through it. Lord, praying specifically for our missionaries and a lot of different ones on the field that are going through some challenges with the way that some of the countries are responding to COVID and how, Lord, that is starting to lock down different regions again. I just pray that you'll just continue to give them patience as they work through these times. Lord, we just pray now that you'll bless and work in our ministry here this morning. May our hearts rejoice in what you're doing. And Lord, may we be filled with a sense of the presence that you offer and the wonder of who you are. Lord, in even the darkest of days, Lord, we're grateful that you are there with us. You lead us through those valleys and you go before us. And Lord, we're trusting in you for these days. Lord, again, guide and direct our time here together. May you truly be praised in everything that we do and say. And it's in Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor. It is a joy to be with you today, and look forward to worshiping together this morning as we sing about our great God. I sing the mighty power of God.
I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun.
foes are many.
My foes are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. Oh my God, He will not delay, my refuge and strength await. I will not fear, His promise is true, my God will come through.
Thankful for that this morning.
Amen. Trouble surrounds me, chaos abounding, my soul will rest in you. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. And strength always. I will not fear, His promise is true, my God will come through always, always. And oh my God, He will not delay, my refuge and strength always.
This heart on fire, oh, set this heart on fire. I let go of all I have just to have all of you, and no matter what the cost, I will follow you. Jesus, everything I've lost, I have found in you. And when I finally reach the end, I'll say, you are worth it all. You are worth it all. When I'm there in your glorious presence, every knee will bow before you, hear the sound of heaven singing you. Singing a worthy word.
praises. You are worth it all. When I'm there in your glorious presence, every knee will bow before you. Hear the sound of heaven singing. You are worth it all. All the saints cry, holy, holy. Angels singing, worthy, worthy. Forever I will shout your praises. You are worth it all. Have found in you, and when I finally reach the end, I'll say, you are worth it all. You are worth it all.
You may be seated. I thought I would share a song with you this morning before Pastor comes and speaks, but I want to direct your attention to Galatians 6:14. It says, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. I'll keep my eyes on the cross.
This world tries to distract me from the things that I must do. And sometimes my heart grows heavy and your face seems far from view. Like a ship out on the angry waves, there's a light there on the shore. And I know I'm not alone here anymore. I'll keep my eyes on the cross, my eyes on the cross. And when hope is far from view, Lord, I will fix my eyes on you. I'll keep my eyes on the cross, my eyes on the cross. Like a beacon points the way to a ship that's been lost, so I will find my way home. If I keep my eyes on the cross. Sometimes I turn my face away in shame for what I've done. Then I can softly hear my Father say, that is why I sent my Son. So when the trials seem too much to bear, I will look to Calvary. For in the shadow of the cross, it's plain to see. I'll keep my eyes on the cross, my eyes on the cross. And when hope is far from view, Lord, I will fix my eyes on you. I'll keep my eyes on the cross, my eyes on the cross. Like a beacon points the way to a ship that's been lost, so I will find my way home if I keep my eyes on the cross. There is hope for tomorrow. There is peace for today. If we focus on the cross of Christ, His love will light the way. I'll keep my eyes on the cross, my eyes on the cross. And when hope is far from view, Lord, I will fix my eyes on you. A ship that's been lost, so I will find my way home if I keep my
reminder, Fred, and I appreciate that. And what a time in which we need to be reminded of these great truths that God's Word gives to us to deal with the days in which we find ourselves. And again, reminders from God's Word. And so we turn this morning to the book of Matthew, if you would, with me, Matthew chapter 5. And looking at a familiar group of verses here as we come into what has been described as the Beatitudes, part of the Sermon on the Mount, and to a specific verse that is mentioned here, especially in verse 10, on blessed are the persecuted. Thinking about this and this time as we get in ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, as we march into a season that before us, as we think about as a country, as a people, as the American nation that we love and cherish and appreciate, as we come into a season of thanksgiving and gratitude and heart of gratitude, and then leading ourselves to take that same attitude of gratitude towards the time when we celebrate a coming Savior who presented himself to the world for the hope of all of mankind. It reminds us that there is a sense of purpose and urgency for the church in the day in which we live. We live in a time where a pandemic is something that is on every news channel. We live in a time where there are those who are still upset about the potentiality of an electoral decision. We understand that we live in times of fear and unrest and upheaval, and it's not just here in the United States, it's around the world. And yet, beyond that, there is then the upheaval and the unrest that comes when we are confronted in a spiritual need of a people, of a population, when they are confronted with their need of Christ. And thinking about this passage as we come into this time of unrest and unease, I find that the urgency of the gospel is something that needs to be present. And yet it's in that same face, in that same conversation, where much of the retaliation and the unrest comes out as well. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, Christ is speaking. He saw the crowds. He went up on a mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for a reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Father, I pray as we take a moment here this morning and think about those who are around the world and even in our own country who are being persecuted because they're taking a stand for righteousness' sake. As we think about a people who are called by your name, out of every tribe, tongue, and nation, Lord, to be able to reach the other tribes and other tongues and the other nations around this world. Lord, understand that this is not our home. This is just a place where we abide in the interim period so that we can discover the grace of God, so that we can enter into a relationship with you, and so that we can spend eternity with you. And yet, how enamored we have become with the here and now. Lord, I think it changes our attitude of gratitude. I think it changes the way we see Christmas. I think it changes the way we behold the wondrous work of the cross. Lord, may we be a people that are ready to endure, to face hardship, because, Lord, really, this is the hardest part of living compared to what heaven will bring. So, Lord, I pray that you'll lead us as we think through these things this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a classic story of John Bunyan, a story that most of us, I would say, know, probably have read more than once, and that's the story of Pilgrim's Progress. There's a part of the allegory that shares the account of Christian and faithful and evangelist. An evangelist warns them, and he makes the statement inside of the book, that you will soon come into a town that you will by and by see before you. And in that town, you will be hardly beset with enemies who will strain hard, but they will kill you. And be sure that one or both of you must seal the testimony which you hold with blood, but be you faithful unto death, and the king will give you a crown of life. And then shortly after this accounting, faithful and Christian enter into a city called Vanity Fair. And the people questioned their apparel, they questioned their speech, and how little these pilgrims carried on their backs. And soon the folks of Vanity Fair are taunting them and smiting them and speaking reproachfully of them. It was not long before they were brought before an examination, even beaten. And they were smeared in the dirt and thrown into a cage. But Christian and faithful did not return railing for railing. And even being dragged up and down in the city in chains, facing the derision of the crowds, they did not cause hatred or vile words to come out of these pilgrims' mouths. And this made the citizens even more angry, and before long, the two were thrust before accusers. And Bunyan names them as envy and superstition, be brought before a judge whose name was Judge Hategood. And the judge and the jury passed the death sentence on faithful. And the story reads that first they scourged him, and then they buffeted him, and then they lanced his flesh with knives, and after that they stoned him with stones, and then pricked him with their swords, and last of all, they burned him to ashes at the stake, and thus came faithful to his end. And it's just a story. But it is the story of thousands even today, and there have been more killed in their for their faith in the 20th and 21st centuries alone than all of the previous centuries combined. And with the rising of Islam and other militant religious groups, Christianity and the gospel has faced death in many lands and in many forms. And as we read in Matthew chapter 5, Christ speaks to those who will be persecuted, and he refers to them by one word, blessed. Blessed. Now, we would say unfortunate, not politically correct, very undeserved, unfathomable. But what Christ says here is that those who are the blessed ones, the fortunate ones, the kingdom-worthy ones, the deserving, we should fathom the possibility. And in these verses, we find a description, a contrast, and even a contradiction in many of the ways that he brings this about. To be a Christian is to be something, to be someone that contradicts the sanity of this world, the norm, the status quo. How do I know? Because of how Christ addresses those who truly follow him. I want you to notice with me three identifiers that have attached to it an opposite. And each of these are in contrast with each other, and they stand in contradiction to the way that the world thinks. As you go into this, notice with me the first one of these, when he talks about here in verses 3 through 9, he talks about a poverty versus possession. He talks about it in verses 3 through 9 about the poor in spirit, they have a kingdom. The blessed are mourning because they are comforted. Blessed are those who are gentle because they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because they will be satisfied. The merciful who will receive mercy. The pure in heart, they will see God. Peacemakers, sons of God. We could and really should focus a lot more on these verses than what we have time to do here this morning. And really thinking about then, as you look at verse 10, the key is found in an inclusio section here, a bracketed section of verses that really formulate verses 3 through 10. And what is also significant is the address in a third person. As you look at these blessed, it's almost like he's talking about those, them, the ones who are over here. Look at them and put them into a box unto themselves. Notice them as something distinct. Then there's a phrase that joins verse 3 to verse 10 and is basically this statement, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is a future look. It's an eschatological view, a look into where our true reward is to be found. And yet how many of us live as if this is all there is? He begins in verse 3 with the poor in spirit. And you'll notice this is not the Holy Spirit. This is about your spirit. It's a sense of poverty, a sense of destitution. It's a destitute existence. And I really think about this verse, and I struggle to see myself as ever being persecuted. Not in America, but those who are around the world. Why? Because all they care to have is Christ. The poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 4, they are those who mourn, not over loss, but really the implication is they mourn over the abundance of sin, the degradation in our world, and they will be comforted one day when they open their eyes in heaven. And then verse 5, they are the gentle, the humble, not due to weakness, but because they see themselves as insufficient without Christ. In verse 6, they are the hungry and the thirsty, not for more of this world's goods and resources, but for righteousness, and only then are they satisfied. In verse 7, they show mercy when they could lash out because God has shown them mercy. In verse 8, they maintain a heart, a wellspring, and the inner man that is kept in purity. And then in verse 9, they don't strive to just keep the peace, but to make peace. And notice this aligns them with being the sons of God. Leon Morris wrote it this way. He says, they bring peace to people and people to peace. And boy, do we not need peace in the world today. But no treaty, no alliance, no election, no party. Nothing is going to bring peace until the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, arrives and is ever present in the heart. And so the contrast is between what truly possesses us. Are we seeing ourselves as impoverished and in need of Christ for everything, every day? Or are you filled with all that this world could offer you and lack need in your person for the person of Jesus Christ? Then I would venture you would never be persecuted then. You'll never be persecuted. But that leads me then to the second identifier. It leads us then to understand that he is addressing the persecuted versus the punished. In verses 10 through 12, he brings verses 3 all the way down to 10, and he couples these together. And he talks about, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to describe that in verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven, and it is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In verse 10, you find that technically it goes in line with verses 3 through 9. And really what you understand is that verses 11 and 12 are an expansion of verse 10. The contrast here is due to the statement regarding why one is persecuted. Why are we being persecuted? And it is for righteousness' sake. In verse 10, it's still a third-person verse, but when you get to verses 11 and 12, it changes to a second person, you. And he begins to point the finger at those who are listening, and primarily he's focusing on his disciples here. You. The implication is now that you, this is referring to the ones who are following Christ, you're living out the character of Christ. So, are we persecuted? Oh, I've endured trials. But to say I have been persecuted, not so much. And that hit me hard. And I don't really want persecution. I'm kind of a wimp, I'll be honest with you. I do not long to suffer. In fact, I find it hard to stand here and preach about the blessed life as being a persecuted believer. Blessed are the persecuted. And to put it in that perspective, the issue is that we should be ready to face our accusers. And if we are being punished for evil, the evil conduct or ungodly living, the unrighteous conduct, we deserve to be punished. And Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 4. However, persecution is sandwiched between two forms of verbal attacks. He uses the word insults, and then he uses the expression of false accusations. In verse 12, rejoice, be glad, for our reward is not in escaping the scrutiny or passing a law to protect some religious freedom. Our goal is to live in such a manner that our character is that of Christ and the world around us sees him and less of us. Would Jesus notice our conduct and be blessed by it? I believe that persecution is coming to us as Americans. And I believe it's coming soon. If you don't think so, then stand against the homosexual agenda. Speak out against the false doctrine of Islam. Stand up for the unborn child. But even if you avoid the politically charged topics, speak about your faith in a manner that says there is only one way to God, or that you even believe in a God, that you believe in a creator, and you'll get laughed out of the classroom. You'll be mocked, you'll be insulted, you'll be belittled, and perhaps even a little roughed up. And the problem is, are we vocal enough about our faith, or are we shying away from presenting Christ in a very obvious manner? And that leads us then to the third identifying contrast that we find in this passage. The purposed versus the pointless. In verses 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth. But what happens if salt loses its saltiness? Then what do you do with it? It has no value. You are the light of the world. But why would a city on a hill seek to be obscured? And why would you take and light a candle and then just stick a basket over the top of it? And he contrasts this idea between the sense of our purpose versus the place of being pointless, useless. It's a sharp rebuke. And in this passage, you find that Matthew records Christ using this twofold analogy of salt and light. And the point of salt is very much varied. The idea of salt inside of Scripture, it speaks of a preserving aspect. There is a flavor enhancing. It's an antiseptic. In fact, in Christ's day, it was even used for currency. You've heard that phrase, worth your salt. It was part of a sacrificial procedure, and it was even a method to make land useless. If you sowed a field with salt, it would never again, for a long season, ever grow anything of value. And in Scripture, we are to season our speech with salt as we show grace and offer appropriate answers, Galatians 4:5. The point is, salt is beneficial in a myriad of ways. But Christ asked, what if salt lost its saltiness? Then it would be pointless. Then he refers to light, and Jesus is the light of the world. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Light is often associated with the idea of enlightenment and clarity. It speaks of truth and integrity. And so to light a candle, to ignite the wick of a lamp, and then hide that light would be like trying to hide a city upon a hill or putting a bushel basket over the light. It's pointless. And you and I have been purposed by God. We are to be the salt and the light. To not be what we are created for, then, is to say that we exist as a pointless waste of God's grace. Now, basically what he is saying here is, I'm going to throw in a very sharp contrast to you, and it does not besmirch the grace of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, the desire of God to give us a sense of identity and purpose, but what he is using here is a sharp rebuke to say, why would you hide what you have been created for? As one writer put it, you're not being or behaving in accord with what is understood to be your intrinsic nature. And see, God has purposed for you a life that he has designed. He wants you to be his light bringer. He wants you to be the salt of purity, the revealer of God to the world. That is what he has now given to you as part of his intrinsic nature, in the divine nature that he has given to you. So how are we doing? When you and I are not doing that, we're living a pointless, meaningless life. And it is not what God intended for you. So let me ask you this morning, are you blessed? Are you poor without Christ? Do you suffer for Christ because you live for him? You speak for him? Do you live up to your intended purpose? Are you blessed because you are persecuted? Blessed because Christ is all you need, all you want, and all that you love? Blessed because you are living not for this world, but for one that is greater, one that is to come. We can speak of those who go into far regions, and we can laud their efforts. We can applaud them for their boldness. We can describe them as the heroes of our faith. But when you read Matthew chapter 5, he is putting this out as a general description of all of us. Blessed are the persecuted. And blessed are the poor, and blessed are the humble, and blessed are the gentle, and blessed are we salt, are we light? Have we found our worth in something other than what God has described us as being? Are we worth our salt? Put into contrast and to think about what we pursue in a given week versus what God pursued us for to make us weak so that we would be utterly dependent upon him, finding our sufficiency in him. And then we share him with others, and the world doesn't like that. They won't accept that. But may we be the light and be the salt that draws many to see Christ, draws them to him. Blessed are the persecuted. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Father, I pray as we make ready to close here this morning, the Lord, you would challenge our sensitivities, challenge our desires, our ambitions, our pursuits. In this day in which we enter, as we come into a season in our nation, a time of thanksgiving, Lord, what will we be thankful for? Will we be able to share around the table with our family and our loved ones that we are thankful that God saw fit to allow us to suffer for the name of Christ? Would we ever deem that a blessing? Like in Acts chapter 4 and 5, when they counted themselves worthy to be persecuted for the name of Christ. Grateful for the opportunity. That's so foreign to our way of thinking here. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us today to think about what it is that we're pursuing and what we're living for. And Lord, how you have pursued us through grace and through mercy and through love. And to what end? That we might just live into ourselves? Or shall we be bold, encouraging the world to take a look at Christ, confronting them not with sharpness of tactic, but Lord, with a heart that genuinely loves people. And we sow the seed, and we mingle it with salt, and we shine light with the hope that it'll bring forth fruit and life. Lord, challenge our thinking. May we be ready. And Lord, may we be truly the people that are descriptive of the kingdom of God. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before we sing, you're thinking about this. You know, again, I said, I don't envy. I don't long for persecution. But if we are not a church of people that are willing to endure it, then where will the truth come from? Where will it come from? May we speak the truth. And then if we are rebuffed for it, may it challenge us to stand in that group that are blessed because we are salt and light. Think about that as you leave today. And think about that the next time you're tempted to keep your mouth shut and not share Christ. Or when you don't want to model him on your street and in your workplace or wherever you're at. What keeps you from being that voice box for Christ? Let's sing this together.
When I feel my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. This promise shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. Yes, he will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight, when he comes at last. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior.
Bless you. Thank you, Pastor, for that challenge this morning. Go and tell the world, right? Tell the world the news. You're dismissed. Lord bless.